Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Katie Weaver. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak slowly, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. On the show today, John Russell has a report from Italy about a secret space hundreds of years old that is now opening to the public. We also get some answers from Gina Bennett on this week's Ask a Teacher. Which learner question did she choose this week? Find out. And we close the show with a frightening American story. But first, here is Jill Robbins with a swift story about law school.
University of South Dakota law professor Sean Kammer's friends told him they were unsure about the seriousness of his upcoming class on musical performer Taylor Swift. "I understand this sounds ridiculous, at least at first glance," said Kammer, a Taylor Swift fan, or Swiftie himself, "but it's not." Kammer's class, called the Taylor Swift Effect, is planned for the spring. It is believed to be the first law school class based on the famous American singer. After attending a Swift concert in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in June, Kammer said he was inspired to develop the writing class. It is available for second and third year law students. The class will study the artist's dealings with the law, including her re-recording of 6 albums and related copyright problems, Kammer said. It will also examine how an individual's experiences and beliefs shape how they understand the law, much like how there are different understandings of her songs. Law classes about popular culture are not uncommon. They also bring attention to schools that offer them. The television show The Wire inspired a number of criminal law classes over the years. In 2022, the University of Virginia School of Law offered a class on corporate law based on the show Succession. Law classes centered on a single public person are rare, however. But Georgia State University College of Law is currently offering a class based on the legal life of musician Rick Ross. Boston University law professor Jessica Silby helped write a book on popular culture and the law. She said students are usually more interested when they study subjects such as sports, new technology, and famous people. Silby teaches Swiss album re-recordings in her copyright class to teach about contract law in the music business. She said the singer's success story and what she has dealt with provide good lessons in the law. South Dakota Law is not the first school to offer classes on Swift. The University of California at Berkeley recently announced an upcoming business class based on Swift's business experiences. Stanford, New York University, and the University of Texas have also offered Swift-inspired classes. But Kammer's class is the first legal exploration of her music and career. Kammer also teaches legal history. He said he plans to examine some Swift songs to look into how the words of the songs and certain legal texts can be understood. He said his class will also look at good and bad qualities of methods for understanding the law. I'm Jill Robbins.
Thank you. visitors will soon be able to see a long hidden space inside the Medici Chapel in the Italian city of Florence. The walls of the small space contain drawings that some experts believe may have been created by the famous artist Michelangelo. The secret room is small, 10 meters by 3 meters. Officials discovered the room in 1975 when searching for a way to make a new exit from Medici Chapel. The museum's then-director, Paolo Del Poggetto, strongly believed that the drawings were by Michelangelo, said the current director, Paola D'Agostino. A debate over the issue began then and continues to this day. D'Agostino suggested that experts of Michelangelo's drawings did not believe he created the works at the time of their discovery 50 years ago. She added, others had a more moderate view, in the sense they thought that some could be by Michelangelo and others could be by followers. So the debate is ongoing. The room was used to store coal until 1955. Then it was closed and forgotten for years below a special kind of opening known as a trapdoor. The trapdoor was hidden beneath furniture. The drawings themselves were discovered under two layers of plaster, a substance used to make walls and ceilings smooth. Del Poggetto believed Michelangelo hid in the space to escape the anger of Pope Clement VII. The artist had supported a short-lived republic that overthrew the Medicis. In the room, the artist drew for some of his projects. They include drawings believed to be the legs of Giuliano de' Medici. Starting on November 15th, small groups of four people will be able to visit the room for about 15 minutes. Visitors will have to pay an additional $20 on top of the $10 charged for entry to the main museum. The museum said it limits the number of visitors because of the need to reduce exposure of the artworks to light. At most, 100 visitors will be able to go to the room each week. I'm John Russell.
This week on Ask a Teacher, we answer a question about the use of prepositions with which. Dear VOA Ask a Teacher, I am Shohei from Japan. I enjoy many contents of VOA Learning English every day. I have a grammatical question for using which, such as in which, of which, from which, and so on. How do native English speakers immediately decide to use the correct preposition? I cannot understand these differences. Best regards. Thank you. Thank you for writing, Shohei. This is a good question. When we use which with a preposition, it is mostly in written English to note place, time, or manner, or the way that something is happening. The most often used prepositions with which are in and to. The corpus of contemporary American English shows that in is used 5 times more often than too. And they both make up more than 60% of all uses of a preposition with which. Many times, in which and to which are used as part of an expression in English. They include the extent to which, the way in which, and the manner in which. Here are some examples. We can explore the way in which nature changes. Our future depends on the extent to which humans can stop climate change. Fans were not pleased with the manner in which the trainer talked about the team. One more thing. If you're not sure which preposition to use with which, a good choice is in, because it's used the most often. Please let us know if this explanation has helped you, Shohei. Do you have a question about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Gina Bennett.
You just heard Ask a Teacher. Now, Gina Bennett joins me in the studio. In this week's program, you answered a question about prepositions with which.
Hi, Katie. Yes, prepositions in English are very hard for learners. In fact, they're considered to be one of the 5 hardest things to learn about English.
Wow. Is that why you decided to only talk about 2 prepositions used with which?
Yes. There are more than 40 prepositions that are used with which in English. A lot to learn.
I'm not sure I know all of them. In a recent chat with me, you said descriptive grammar explains how people really use language. What does that tell us about prepositions?
Using descriptive grammar, we can see which prepositions are used most often, and that can help us decide what to focus on for learning. To and in are more than 60% of uses with which. Another 25% of uses with which are on, from, by, and at.
That's a lot of numbers and words.
True. Basically, there are more than 40 possible prepositions to use with which. But mostly, like 85%, we use in, to, on, from, by, at.
So it's helpful maybe to focus on those at first. And start with it and to?
Exactly. Maybe sometime we can talk about how to know when to use which preposition, but that's really complex.
Well, we appreciate the info, Gina.
Thanks, Katie. Hope to chat with you again soon.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
The Boy on Gravesend Road. Written by Katie Weaver.
Kelly Ryan was making dinner. Her 10-year-old son, Benjamin, was watching television in the living room. Or at least she thought he was.
Benny boy, do you want black beans or red beans?
Red beans,
oh,
Mama.
Don't do that, Ben. You scared me half to death. You're gonna get it.
Ben had come up quietly right behind her.
Oh, I'll get back to you, you stinker.
Kelly goes to the phone, but as soon as she lays her hand on it, the ringing stops.
How strange. Oh, the beans.
Kelly turns her attention back to cooking. As soon as she does, the phone rings again.
Honey, can you get that?
Hello? Oh, hi. Yes, I remember. Sure, it sounds fun. Let me ask my mom. Can you hold? She might want to talk to your mom. Okay. See you tomorrow.
Ben, your rice and beans are on the table. Let's eat. So, what was that call about?
That was Wallace Gray. You know him from class? He wants to play tomorrow. Can I go home with him after school? Please, Mom, I get bored around here waiting for you after work.
But I don't even know his parents. Maybe I should talk to them.
You can't, Mom. He was with his babysitter. He said his parents wouldn't be home until late tonight, and they would leave before he went to school in the morning. Please, Mom, Wallace lives right over on Gravesend Road. It's a 5-minute walk from here. Please?
Well, okay. What's so great about this guy anyway? You've got a ton of friends to play with.
I know, but Wallace is just different. He's got a lot of imagination.
The school week passes, and Ben starts to go home almost every day with Wallace. Kelly notices a change in her son. He seems tired and withdrawn. His eyes do not seem to really look at her. They seem lifeless. On Friday night, she decides they need to have a talk.
Sweetie, what's going on with you? You seem so tired and far away. Is something wrong? Did you and your new friend have a fight?
No, Mom. We've been having a great time. There's nothing wrong with us. Why don't you like Wallace? You don't even know him, but you don't trust him.
Benjamin, what are you talking about? I don't dislike Wallace. You're right. I don't know him. You just don't seem like yourself. You've been very quiet the past few nights.
I'm sorry, Mom. I guess I'm just tired. I have a great time with Wallace. We play games like cops and robbers. But they seem so real that half of the time I feel like I'm in another world. It's hard to explain. It's like...
I think the word you're looking for is intense.
Yeah, that's it. It's intense.
Well, tell me about today. What kind of game did you play?
We were train robbers, or Wallace was. I was the station manager. Wallace was running through a long train from car to car. He had stolen a lot of money and gold from the passengers. I was chasing right behind him, moving as fast as I could. Finally, he jumps out of the train into the station to make his escape. But I block his path. He grabs a woman on the station platform. She screams, "No, no!" But he yells, "Let me through or she dies." So I let him go.
What happened then?
Well, that's what was weird and, like you said, intense. Wallace threw the lady onto the tracks and laughed. He said that's what evil characters do in the games. They always do the worst.
Later, after Ben went to bed, Kelly turned on the 11 o'clock news. She was only half listening as she prepared a list of things to do the next day on Halloween.
Okay, let's see. Grocery shopping, Halloween decorating. Oh, the dog's got to go to the groomer. I've got to go to the hardware store, clean up the garden, and the...
instantly. Reports say it appears she was pushed off the station platform into the path of the oncoming train.
No.
It happened during rush hour today. Some witnesses reported seeing two boys running and playing near the woman. But police say they did not see any images like that on security cameras at the station. In other
they
news,
can't be. The station is an hour away. They couldn't have gotten there.
The
How could they? It's just a coincidence.
The wind blew low and lonely that night. Kelly slept little. She dreamed she was waiting for Ben at a train station. Then she saw him on the other side, running with another little boy. It must be Wallace, she thought. The little boy went in and out of view. Then, all of a sudden, he stopped and looked across the tracks directly at her. He had no face. Saturday morning was bright and sunny, a cool October day. Kelly made Ben eggs and toast and watched him eat happily.
You know, Benny boy, a woman did get hurt at the train station yesterday. She actually got hit by a train. Isn't that strange?
She looked at Ben.
What do you mean, Mom?
Well, you and Wallace were playing that game yesterday about being at a train station. You said he threw a woman off the platform and she was killed by a train.
Kelly felt like a fool, even saying the words. She was speaking to a 10-year-old who had been playing an imaginary game with another 10-year-old. What was she thinking?
I said we played that yesterday. I did? No, we played that a few days ago, I think. It was just a really good game, really intense. Yesterday, we played pirates. I got to be Captain Frank on the pirate ship, the Arg. Wallace was Davy, the first mate, but he tried to rebel and take over the ship, so I made him walk the plank. Davy walked off into the sea and drowned. Wallace told me I had to order him to walk the plank. He said that's what evil pirates do.
Well, I guess he's right. I don't know any pirates, but I do hear they're pretty evil.
So can I play with Wallace today when you are doing your errands? Please, Mom? I don't want to go shopping and putting up Halloween decorations.
Oh, whatever. I guess so. I'll pick you up at Wallace's house at about 5:30 so you can get ready for trick-or-treating. Where does he live again?
Gravesend Road. I don't know the street number, but there are only two houses on each side. His is the second one on the left.
Okay. I can find that easy enough. Do you still want me to pick up a ghost costume for you?
Yep. Oh, and guess what, Mom? Wallace says he's a ghost, too. I suppose we'll haunt the neighborhood together.
Everywhere Kelly went that day was crowded. She spent an hour and a half just at the market. When she got home, decorating the house for Halloween was difficult. But finally, she had it all up the way she wanted.
Oh, gosh, it's 5 already. I don't even have Ben's costume.
She jumped into her car and drove to Wilson Boulevard. The party store was just a few blocks away. Kelly soon found the ghost costume that Ben wanted. She bought it and walked out of the store.
Hey, Kelly, long time no see. How's Benjamin doing?
Eileen, wow, it's great to see you. How's Matt? We've been so busy since the school year started, we haven't seen anyone.
Well, Matt's good. I mean, he broke his arm last month, so no sports for him. It is driving him crazy. But at least he's got a lot of time for school now.
That's good, yeah.
Anyway, Matt was wondering why Benny Boy never comes by anymore. We saw him running around the neighborhood after school last week. It looks like he's having fun, but he's always alone. We don't need to set up a play date. Ben should know that. You just tell him to come by anytime.
Wait a minute. Alone? What do you mean, alone? He started playing with a new friend, a Wallace somebody, after school. Like, every day this past week. Ben hasn't been alone. Wallace Gray. That's it. Do you know him? Does Matt?
Oh, Kelly, I'm sure he's a fine kid. I don't know him, but don't worry. Ben's got great taste in friends. We know that. I'm sure he really wasn't alone. He was probably just playing hide-and-seek or something. I didn't mean to worry you. I guess everybody's on edge because of what happened to the Godwin boy this morning.
Kelly suddenly felt cold and scared. What Godwin boy? And what happened to him? She was not sure she wanted to know, but she had to ask.
Frank Godwin's youngest boy, Davy, the 5-year-old. You know Frank. We call him Captain. He used to be a ship captain. Well, this morning, the rescue squad found Davy in Blackheart Lake. They also found a little toy boat that his dad had made for him. Davy and his dad named it the Arg. Davy must have been trying to sail it. It's so sad.
Wait, he's dead?
Yes. Davy drowned.
Where's Blackheart Lake?
It's right off Gravesend Road, right behind that little cemetery. That's why they call it Gravesend. Kelly, where are you going?
I've got to get Benjamin.
Kelly raced down Main Street. She had no idea who Wallace Gray was or how he was involved in any of this. But she did not trust him, and she knew her child was in danger. Finally, she was at Gravesend Road.
Only 2 houses on each side.
She remembered what Ben had told her.
Right behind that little cemetery.
And what Eileen had told her. Kelly got out of the car and walked down the street. She looked around.
The second one on the left.
She could see the lake. Some fog was coming up as the sky darkened on this Halloween night. But there was no second house. Instead, what lay before her was grass and large white stones. The cemetery. Kelly walked through the gate into the yard of graves.
Ben?
No answer. She kept walking.
Ben, answer me. I know you're here.
Again, no answer. But the wind blew and some leaves began to dance around a headstone. Kelly walked slowly toward the grave. Suddenly, the sky blackened, so dark she could not see anything. She felt a force pushing at her. It tried to push her away from the grave, but she knew she had to stay.
Benjamin, Owen, Orr, this is your mother. Come out this second.
No one answered, except for the sound of the blowing wind. The darkness lifted. Silvery moonlight shone down directly onto the old gravestone in front of her. But Kelly already knew whose name she would see.
Wallace Gray, October 31st, 1900 to October 31st, 1910. Some are best when laid to rest.
Kelly took a deep breath, then...
Wallace Gray, this play date is over. Give me back my son. Wallace, you are in time out.
Suddenly, the ground shoots upward like a small volcano. Soil, sticks, and worms fly over Kelly's head and rain down again, followed by her son, who lands beside her.
Ben! Ben!
Mom, are you there? I can't see. All this dirt in my eyes.
Ben, I'm here, baby. Right here. Oh, sweet Benny boy. Can you breathe? Are you really okay? What
I'm
happened?
Alive.
How long were you in there?
I don't know, Mom, but I didn't like it. I didn't like where Wallace lives. I want to go home.
Oh, me too, sweetie. Come on. Ben, put your arm around me. Come on.
Mom, one more thing.
What is it, Ben?
I don't want to be a ghost for Halloween.
Our story, The Boy on Gravesend Road, was written and produced by Katie Weaver. The voices were Andrew Bracken, Faith Lapidus, Catherine Cole, Shirley Griffith, and Jim Tedder. I'm Pat Bodner.
That's all the time we have for today's show, but join us again tomorrow for another VOA Learning English program. Thanks for listening. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Dan Friedell.